Good to see everybody here today, and it's a joy to be here ourselves. Just an update, our missionary that we had here, been a month or so, or more now, I guess, that we had, and it's a constant reminder to pray for them as they are serving in Israel. We have these back here in the vestibule there. They're cards that you can put it on your mirror as you're brushing your teeth to remember to pray for them and all. But just to give you an update, I had a meeting with him this week. Did a FaceTime, and they're really doing well. And I just wanted to remind you that we have those in other parts of the world that are serving our Lord and Savior. So I just wanted to remind you that if you don't have that cord, they're back there. If you need, if they're run out, I'll get you some more. But just continue to remember Drake and his family as they're serving in Israel. They had just gotten back and they're settling in and getting back to work. But it was good catching up with him. And one time in the future, we will sit down and maybe do a Skype or something, whatever they call that, and put it on the screen where you can see everybody here at the church. But with that being said, we are glad you're here with us this morning as we continue in our series over forgiveness. Now, I know it's not the best topic that we want to talk about. I know it's not something that we all look forward to because it reminds us of things that have happened to us or things that we have done to someone else. And it requires us to really think about it and want to do something about it, but we tend to ignore it, right? We tend to turn our back or run away from the things that make us uncomfortable. And so we want to think about for the very things that we see it all over in Scripture, right? And when we think about what we talked about last week, isn't that why Jesus come? To offer us a chance to be forgiven of all the wrongs we do in our life. And if it's serious to God, if it's serious to Jesus, if he takes the time to put it in print, shouldn't it be something that we should take serious ourselves? So with that being said, we started last week, we looked at being a receiving forgiveness. And as we said, this week we're going to talk about offering forgiveness. And if the Lord wills, we're able to gather next week, we're going to talk about accepting forgiveness. But I have to say that we should take it serious because I feel that forgiveness is the foundation of all relationships. If we think about it, if we're mean to people or we mistreat people around us, it won't be very long before we don't have anybody in our life, right? And as we think about the things that we've done and we seek this forgiveness, whether it was intentional or not, we must do something about it. Sometimes we can do things or interpret things that are done to us because we're in an uncomfortable situation, which makes everything else seem a little bit worse, doesn't it? Maybe we're just having a bad day. And things that we would normally shrug off or ignore now becomes the thing that puts us over the edge. Or maybe someone's speaking truth into our life that we need to hear, but we're just not ready to hear it. But whatever the case may be, it's our response to those things that offend us or hurt our feelings that reveals our heart. And as I've said, that it deals with our relationships. And when we think about how our response is, it reveals our heart because we have to view ourselves as well as how we view other people as well. So last week we looked at a lot of scripture that showed our fallenness, right? And it wasn't that fun. As I stood up there and said, all these ways in which we need Jesus to save us because of we've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's not comfortable for us to talk about these things. And again, as I've said, we try to run from them. We try to ignore these things and push them aside so we don't have to deal with it. But as I've said, that because Jesus come and did what he did, because God talks about it in Scripture, we should take it serious, which means we need to do something about it. But isn't all of these things something, because we need to work on it so much, we should as we see Jesus do, put forth that effort. Because as we go through the things, our fallenness, because we go through the things that separate us from other people as well as God, we get this feeling, don't we? Just as Adam and Eve got the feeling in Genesis 3 after they took the fruit. They hid from God. And God asked, why are you hiding? He says, because we have sinned and we are naked and ashamed. Don't we feel that way? When we wrong someone or we let someone down, don't we get this burden of guilt, this burden that we have to carry, and we need to do something about it? And this is the point to where we have to say that the gospel screams, forgiveness is available. Through Jesus Christ, the gospel is screaming that we need to ask for forgiveness. And at that point, we talked about how do we get that forgiveness, and that is through admitting that we have wronged. And it could be the people that we are closest to here on earth, but most certainly in all cases, we have wronged God. Believing in Jesus Christ is the one who makes forgiveness available. And then confessing our sins and confessing our faith in Jesus Christ. God will receive us. He will forgive us our sins if we come before Him trusting in the work that Christ had done. Now you may be thinking to yourself, are you just going to re-preach the entire sermon from last week? Well, the answer to that question is yes. Pretty much. It's important that we understand the significance of the forgiveness that we can receive because of what Christ offered. But our ability to offer forgiveness is actually the opposite side of the same coin. Just as Christ offers us forgiveness, we must also be able to forgive other people that have wronged us. Our embarrassment that we get, the uncomfortable feeling, the burden and weight of the sin that we have in our life, and what it does to us, don't we want to release those around us from that same burden? If we're continually mad and almost shun the people in our life that have wronged us, like I said, it won't be very long, they won't be having anybody in our life. But also, don't we want them to have that peace and joy that we receive because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? So we forgive others because, well, they've done something to us, right? We wouldn't be talking about this if something didn't happen to us. And as we said, we all fall short. We all mess up. And that includes others to us as well. As we see, Scripture speaks. It speaks about everything in our life. And we're able to find answers to everything. But when we talk about forgiving other people around us, we need to first start, as I said, looking at ourselves. It is our anger, our frustration, it should be a mirror of sorts as to why am I mad about this? One thing that we may see is that maybe our disappointment is our wanting the best for the other person. We see this a lot through Christ's life. In chapter 8 in the book of Matthew, verse 26, it says, O ye of little faith, whenever Jesus and the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee, the storm comes and the boat is being tossed about, and Jesus is in the front asleep. They wake Him up and say, Master, help us. And He says, O ye of little faith. In chapter 9, verses 2 and 3, when Jesus is healing the little boy, the scribes said, this man is blaspheming. I'm sure that hurt Jesus, because out of love and compassion, He's ministering to others. In chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, it says that the scribes were conspiring against Him. And Jesus knew this and went away. Again, in verse 24 of chapter 12, the scribes and the religious leaders actually called Jesus the devil. These sort of things hurt, doesn't it? When people say things to us, they might even have to say anything. If you've had to drive down to Louisville this past weekend during Derby, I'm sure you've gotten looks that say 1,000 words. There's things that happen in our lives that can get to us and hurt us. How about Matthew chapter 19, verse 22? The rich young man comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to be one of your followers? And and his list of things, the man felt pretty confident until Jesus says, sell all of your possessions and give to the poor. And it says that the young man went away sorrowful. Don't let our expectations of people become our standard for them. A good example of this would be a school teacher. They want the best for every child in their classroom. They're teaching them stuff that they need to know in order to be successful in life. And then they give the what everybody loves, the test. I've taught you this information. Now I'm giving you a test to see how well you know these things. But we can't gauge because nobody likes to take tests, right? Nobody really cares about the content that we're actually being taught at times, right? So we can't really gauge their inability to take that test or their score that they have on their test to say that this person is not going to amount to anything. Let's not, as I said, let our expectations become the standard that we have for people. And yes, I'm speaking to myself. A heart for each of you to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want that for everyone around us. And sometimes we can pour ourselves into others too far sometimes, and they don't want it. It's got to be God's timing. And sometimes we can get our feelings hurt because our trust and our generosity has been taken advantage of. Sometimes our love has been rejected. And that hurts, doesn't it? We pour ourselves out. This sort of action, this lack of trust, this abuse of generosity, the rejection of our love, it can leave a significant mark on our lives, can't it? It allows us to look at other people differently when these sort of things happen. Sometimes there's significant things that happen in our life that can take years to get over. Just think about Jesus again. He sets the example on how to live and how to react. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is betrayed by Judas for some silver. Later on in chapter 26, while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Roman soldiers come, the disciples fled. Peter, even after being told so, he denies Jesus three times. While he's there in chapter 27, the crowds are crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Later on in chapter 27 of Matthew, we see that they beat Jesus. They mock him and they nail him on the cross. But if we keep reading, we see in Matthew 28, verse 17, even though the disciples had run, he calls them back. He tells Peter, because he denied him three times, feed my sheep. And while he's hanging on the cross, while everyone's shouting and cursing at him, he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. We see in this picture of how Jesus reacted, how Jesus recovered from those hateful things, from those hard things that we receive, like the things that we receive. Words and actions can really hurt us. They can leave a tremendous scar in our life. And these scars don't go away quickly in some cases. But the Bible teaches we must forgive. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day as we are here, trusting that your word will speak truth, that will maybe challenge us, but also transform us. to be more like you for those around us, for those within this world, that we can see them as you have us to see them, and that we can act and perform as Jesus did for us, so that we can all grow in our faith and understanding of you. So I pray this today, trusting this message to you, asking you hide me behind your cross. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, looking at this verse, verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6, it's a heavy, heavy passage. It's one that really needs a lot of explanation. And because of the series that we're in, I really hesitated picking this scripture because I don't want you going away thinking wrongly of this text. But I've decided to move forward because of what it actually says, and it fits pretty well in what we're trying to go in this particular sermon. So let me just say that in every case, what Jesus is more concerned about, it's not your physical action. And that's what the Jews were typically doing. They wanted to perform correctly. They wanted to do the things that were required of them, but they were far from God because of their heart. And what Jesus is teaching here is a heart issue. As we've said, he's actually teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He's allowing us to reflect on why we think the way we think, why we act the way that we act, in a way in which we are transformed in our heart so that we can, from the heart, do the work of God rather than just going through the motions and acting out as in a performance. So Jesus is teaching here, if you forgive others, but yet refuse to forgive others, or if you receive forgiveness but refuse to forgive others, then you're just going through the motions. There's something in your heart that needs to be fixed. How in the world can you expect our Father in heaven to forgive you if you're unwilling to forgive others? He's really speaking to the heart here. And as we started in this sermon series, and as we started with this particular sermon, offering forgiveness stems from receiving forgiveness. Our being wronged reminds us of ourselves in Jesus Christ. When we realize and contemplate on our sins that have separated us from a glorious God, but yet enter Jesus Christ, the perfect man living the perfect life and dying in our place after living the life that we could not live, that through our faith in Him and His perfect work, God says you're forgiven. And when we reflect on that, when that becomes our heart toward everyone else, when we are wronged, we reflect back on what we have been forgiven, and it becomes a whole lot easier for us to forgive others. When we refuse to forgive others, it is a means in which we are justifying our sin by holding a grudge against them. We are serving our own justice in a way because they haven't paid their dues and what they've done to me. There's an individual in a bigger family, but this individual can get mad at someone and no one knows why. But it's evident. Everybody knows. They don't talk to them anymore. They give them that side-eye look whenever they're all together. They don't talk to them anymore. And nobody knows why this individual is mad at the other person. And this can go on for years. I mean, decades. And nobody knows why. And then, all of a sudden, this individual, I guess, in their own mind, forgive them. And they begin talking with them again. And still, nobody knows why. My point to this is that we all at some point get tired of being mad. We at some point all get frustrated with ourselves because we hate this other person. And I say it this way, that forgiveness starts when we're willing to forget. Forgiveness starts when we're willing to forget. So as I said, we get tired of being mad at someone else. Now, it may take a while. It may be a significant thing that has happened to us. And maybe it's something, this major rejection through divorce or other things, then we really get mad. And we hold on to that for a while, and we can't celebrate this other person when we hear their name, or we hear someone else even sharing that name, or we're reminded of the act that they did. Our hatred just boils up. And it's a point to where we get tired of being mad at them. There's always that point. Every one of us get to the point that where we just don't want to be mad at them anymore. And once we get to that point, that's when we pray. It can take a while. It can take years, decades, almost an entire lifetime to get to the point, I'm tired of being mad at this person. They're going on and living their life like nothing's ever happened. And yet here, every time I hear their name, I get bloody mad. Once we get tired of that, we hit our knees and say, God, forgive me. Help me get through this. Once we begin praying, let me warn you that when you begin praying, as we've already noted, this is what God wants. God wants us working through the forgiveness process. Would it cost Christ in order for us to be forgiven? How would He not want us to work through this same process for everyone else? So as we begin working on this issue, as we begin trusting God in dependence of Him to heal us, things begin to happen. When we pray, God begins allowing us to see them as He sees them. And remember, God loves us through forgiveness. We get this picture in Psalm 51. David, King David, a man after God's own heart, had committed adultery with Bathsheba. In order to cover it up, has her husband murdered. Going through life like nothing ever happened until he's confronted with it. And at this moment, David goes into a deep depression. He begins to grieve and mourn over his actions. And then through this mourning, we get Psalm 51, where he says, he's pleading with God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Isn't this our goal? That don't we want to be in a right relationship with God? We can go around smiling, we can say the right things, we can act in certain ways, and nobody knows what's going on in our life. But God said in 1 Samuel 16, you can see what's on the outside, but I see the heart of man. We can't hide what's going on in our heart from God. And when we're harboring this hatred, when we're bitter, and we're not allowing forgiveness to enter our life, God knows these things. So when we pray, God is teaching us forgiveness. And it's at that point that we begin to forget. It's not after one prayer. When we begin to pray and God begins working in our heart, when we begin to see this other person the way God sees them, it may take a while, but don't quit praying. And it's at that point, even though it may take a while, that we forget. And see, this is scriptural as well. We read in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. I will, this is God speaking to Jeremiah about Israel's nation, the nation Israel, saying, I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. This is a God that for 400 years remembered the promises that He made to Abraham. 400 years He remembered what He had promised Abraham. Now we got an entire nation, more people in Egypt than ever. And he's saying, I remember what I told you. And he sends Moses to go get them out. So let me just say, how do you think he could forget what we've done? If we've got a God that can remember that much, how do we think that he... In fact, Jesus even says, we'll be held accountable for every jot and tittle. Every iota, he talks about. Everything that we do, we must make account for on that day of judgment. And when we stand before God, we have to give account for everything we've said, everything we've done, everything we've thought. But as we look last week, praise the name of Jesus. And because of our faith and what he's done, those things that we've trusted Jesus Christ with, when we ask for forgiveness for those things, God remembers them no more. I expected an amen. I expected a hallelujah. I expected somebody to stand up and clap. Let me say it again. When we trust in Jesus Christ for him to do what he did for us, when God, we stand before him because of all the sins that we've committed, God says, I don't remember any of that.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise Jesus. He gives us this hope, this lasting hope, this forever hope, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we encounter, when we trust in Jesus Christ, his gift of forgiveness covers everything. Don't we want to give that to others? Has our heart been transformed enough to see the people around us to say, I forgive you? I'm not going to harbor this anymore. Just imagine if Jesus harbored your sin against you. The God that spoke everything into existence, harboring hatred toward us. But he come and offered this forgiveness to us. So a recap. We can get mad because of what people have done to us, either said or actually done. At the point that we get mad, we ask ourselves, why we're mad? Is it from a high opinion of ourselves? How can they talk to me like that? How can they treat me like that? Or is it because of an offense to God? Are we here to protect God? Do we get upset about the things that upset God? And when we get tired of being mad, we pray. It's in our prayer that we see God's forgiveness for us, and we begin to see them as God sees them, as someone in need of Christ. At which time, he develops within us the ability to forgive them. And as we forgive, we forget. Let me tell you, this forgetting actually happens. I'm sure each of you have already been there. You forget once you have truly forgiven. And when it comes back up, you have to really think and remember about what they're talking about. But again, not wanting to forget is us playing God by judging them for their indiscretion. I don't think we want to play God. We need to trust God and move forward. And again, I've started this series. I've said it from the outset. This is hard stuff. This is very difficult things for us to do, to really search ourselves, to put ourselves under the authority of Christ and trust him for forgiveness. That we're not good enough to do it ourselves. And once we admit that once we have said we're not good enough, we need Christ, and we have fallen short, he forgives us. And then when people do stuff to us, do we really want to see ourselves as someone holding a grudge in the place of God? Or do we want to, as Christ did, do we want to become more like Christ and offer a forgiveness so they don't have to go through what we just went through? This is our lesson. And let me just throw this one footnote in there for us. We go through the hard work. We do the necessary things to work through this forgiveness of offering forgiveness to someone else. and you meet with that person and you tell them, I forgive you, but they're not ready to receive the forgiveness that you're offering. That can hurt. That can almost refuel the anger that you had toward them to begin with. If, and I hope it never happens, but if that is to happen, let me say, you, by doing the work, have been obedient to God, obedient to His Word, by working through those issues. Do not forget the work you've already put in to get you to that point. And certainly, do not forget the work that Christ did so that we could all be forgiven. Forgiveness is tough. And we're not through. Lord willing, we're going to look at another leg of it next week. But we have to first receive this forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And as we grow in our faith, as we experience life here on this earth, we must be willing to offer it so that others can be in a right relationship with God Almighty themselves. Now, I think the appropriate ending to our service this morning would to do a time of silent meditation, a time of just quiet prayer for yourself. Because I imagine, as difficult as it was for me to mull through the things in my own life and preparing this sermon, that hearing it, you're probably reminded of some things that you need to work through. What I want to do is give you a chance to, right here today, trust God and the forgiveness He gives us through Jesus Christ. Trust Him that no matter what issues going on in your life, He can fix this thing for you right now. Begin praying right now. I don't know where you're at in this process of forgiving others. But let's go before the Lord now. Let's really work on the things. What is bothering me? What hatred do I have towards someone because of said issue? Do I trust the work that Christ has done for me and am I willing to forgive them for it? Are we willing to pray? Are we mad? Are we fed up with being mad at them? And are we willing to forget? So take a moment by yourself. Reflect on those things, and I will close us in prayer. Oh God, we all have been hurt in some way. We have all experienced a pain that someone else has delivered to us. And as we work through that, big or small, it's all the same. As we work through this, Lord, we have no choice but to trust You to help us with it. And as a result, we know that You complete the work in us necessary. So we trust, Heavenly Father, now as we bow our hearts and our minds before You, hear our cries. Help us to forgive. My prayer is that everyone here this morning has already received the forgiveness that You've given. Which that's crucial. Because we can't be in the right relationship with You without it. But as recipients of forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ, may we use that same pattern and forgive others. Give us the chance to mimic the example that You set. for those in our life to not only have a good relationship with them here on earth, but to have an eternal relationship with them in heaven with you. Our heart is for you, Lord. May you begin a work in ours so that we can continue to work in others. So we pray, Lord, as we trust you with all these things, that you will accomplish what we're praying now. For we know you want this. And we trust you with all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll stand as we sing our closing hymn.